What a great privilege it is that we have God's Word in both English and Chinese. Maybe sometimes we forget what a privilege it is to be able to read the Bible in our language. So thank you for reading those long passages in both English and Chinese this morning. Well, it's today. Yeah, it's a little hot. Today we're beginning Christmas season. So four messages coming up this month. The month of December, in Christmas, about Christmas, and we're simply going to take a look at some the Christmas passages that you know very well and you've heard many times during this season, and we're simply going to look at what the Bible has to say about Jesus and His birth through the lens of some of these characters. So today, we'll be looking through the lens of Joseph and Mary. They're not the main characters, but we'll be looking at them and their lives. Let's pray together quickly. Almighty God, I do pray that you would bless your church today, that we might be able to have hearts to hear and eyes to see. Open our eyes that we might behold you and your word, even though we know this passage, most of us, that it would be fresh, meaningful to us today, that we might be built up in our faith. Pray that we can look at the lives of two ordinary people and how we can emulate, follow their obedience and trust in you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. As I read these passages this week, over and over, stood out to me just how ordinary Joseph and Mary were. Just two very ordinary, common people. Also stood out to me just how unordinary the birth of Jesus was. They were very common, very ordinary. He was very uncommon. I simply want to take a look at that today. Hey, Piper, can you flip through the verses? I'm not going to read all of those again. Yeah, go right there. Okay. They were very common. Jesus was very uncommon. They were just very normal people. I hope that you see that. But their baby was very abnormal. You may be thinking that about your child sometimes. But Joseph was a simple carpenter, we know. And he was simply engaged to a young woman named Mary. They likely, if you think about their lives, they likely had some dreams for their lives. You can imagine a young couple that was engaged, likely had some kind of idea of the life that they wanted to have together. Maybe they dreamed of someday building their own home or someday having a life there in Nazareth. They certainly had some kind of plans for their future together. But all of that changed, didn't it? I'm just struck by the fact that all of that changed in an instant. We don't really think about the fact of these normal human beings and all of a sudden their lives are turned upside down by what happens in the Christmas story. They didn't ask for these changes. I hope you see that. They weren't sitting around, as far as we know. We have no record that they were sitting around praying for God to do something wonderful with their lives, for God to do something great through their lives. Just a pretty young girl and an ordinary carpenter man engaged to be married with some kinds of plan for their life. Not something they had asked for. What started out in the beginning of a life together turns ugly very quickly when God breaks breaks into their life. All of a sudden, an unwed pregnancy, followed by a plan to call off the engagement quietly, a divorce at that time. I hope you see their lives are turned upside down. God's plan breaks into their plan like that. The suddenness that we have in the Scripture of God changing their lives. Their natural, ordinary, common life is disrupted by the supernatural intervention of God, unexpectedly and not asked for. Maybe you can relate to that. They weren't planning on it in any way. So the birth of Jesus Christ is supernatural. We can try to explain Christianity away. We can try to explain Christianity and apologetics and try to say, no, this is exactly how it happened. This very rational or scientific approach to Christianity simply won't do. The birth of Jesus Christ was supernatural. That's the main point of these passages that we need to see. In fact, I want to show you this morning in these passages four ways that the Bible shows that this is no ordinary pregnancy, this is no ordinary birth, this is no ordinary baby. First one we want to look at is the simple fact that at the birth of Jesus, we have the appearance of angels. Now raise your hand if in your birth of your child, you had an angel of God appear to you to announce your child's birth. Anybody want to raise their hand? And if you want to raise your hand, then we need to stop this sermon right now and we need to talk about something else. So you may feel like the birth of your child was supernatural, but maybe there were no angels present. We read that and we know that, but listen, that's not normal. It's not normal for a heavenly being from earth to come down and appear on the earth in some way. It's significant because they dwell in the presence of God. They are not mankind. They're different. They're God's messengers, and they show up on earth in the Bible not that often, and when they do show up, it's a pretty big deal. Mary actually is visited, we are told, by an angel, and we get the angel's name. Now, I don't know how Mary knew the angel's name. It says the angel Gabriel visited Mary. I don't know if there's some part of the story we don't know, and he told her his name, or maybe she talked to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, who the angel told Zechariah, I am Gabriel. Maybe they said, oh, was he like this? Yeah, he was like this. And they say, oh, that was Gabriel. But I don't know if you know this or not, but Gabriel shows up in the Bible in another place. In the book of Daniel, chapter 8 and chapter 9, is the angel Gabriel showing up. And any Jew would have known this angel had a name, this supernatural angel. When Daniel encounters this angel, he falls down like a dead man in terror. Falls down on his face, completely terrified. Well, can you imagine if you're a Jew and you know the Bible and you know that in the Old Testament there's this angel named Gabriel, and then all of a sudden this angel shows up, this same Gabriel shows up. That would have been an amazing, amazing thing. He said to Zechariah, I am Gabriel, John the Baptist's birth. He said, I am Gabriel and I stand in the presence of God. I stand in the presence. I don't fall down in the presence. I stand in the presence of God. But this is no ordinary angel. No small thing. So this is Gabriel comes and talks to Mary face to face. Joseph is spoken to in a dream by an angel that we don't know his name. Maybe it was a Gabriel, maybe it was another angel. And he had a dream and he was told, don't divorce Mary, by the angel. So the realm of heaven has broken into the realm of earth. God has personally sent his messengers to announce the birth of Jesus, testifying to his supernatural birth. This is no ordinary baby, and the appearance of angels proves that, number one. So secondly, Jesus' birth is a fulfillment of prophecy. A fulfillment of prophecy. Did you notice in the passage of Matthew and Luke that there were two prophecies fulfilled? Matthew's gospel says in chapter 1, verse 22, that Jesus' birth is a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So 500 years is a long time. 500 years before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah wrote, we have this precise prophecy that a virgin would give birth to a son and call his name God with us. Luke's gospel says that the angel Gabriel said to Mary in chapter 1, verse 32, excuse me, that Jesus will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This is a reference to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, which is a messianic prophecy, 11 through 14, where God says to David, remember, David said, I'm going to build you a house. And God said, no, I'm going to build you a house instead. And he will raise up a king after him who will be a son to him, and that his kingdom will be forever and his throne will be established forever. So notice, angel appears to both Mary and Joseph, and Mary and Joseph both, there's a prophecy fulfilled. They would have known these verses, and they would have known that they are referring. Of course, the author in Matthew tells us that it was reference. But in both Matthew and Luke's gospel, we have the author. And in Luke, it's the angel himself saying, this is how prophecy is being fulfilled with your baby. So, angels appear to announce his birth. Prophecies are fulfilled. It's a supernatural birth. Number three, the titles. I don't know if you noticed how many titles or names were given to Jesus in these episodes in Matthew and in Luke. So number three, the unusual titles given to this baby. The angels announced that he is to be given the name Jesus. Now, we know his name is Jesus. We pray, Lord Jesus. We sing about Jesus. But names are, my name's Shannon. That's a girl's name in the UK and in Ireland. You know, it doesn't have much meaning. It means wisdom. So obviously, I don't embody that name in any way. My name really means nothing to me or to my parents. But names mean something in the Middle East, and they meant something at that time period to Jews. And both, did you notice the angel at both times says, you've got to call his name Jesus. Didn't say, I suggest you call his name Jesus, or you call his name Bob or something else. His name, you got to call him Jesus. Well, Jesus is not Hebrew, okay? Jesus is Greek, and the Hebrew is Yeshua, and the English is Joshua, and the Chinese is, I don't know. Joshua, what does it mean? What does the name Jesus mean? It means God saves. His name has to mean God saves. You shall call his name Jesus, and then he says, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, many kids in Israel would have been called Yeshua. It was a common name. But this child would embody that name and put a face to that name and its meaning. He would actually be God Saves. He would die on a cross someday to pay the penalty for sinners. So listen to all the names in just these two Christmas passages. Listen to the names and the titles given to this baby. Jesus, God Saves. Emmanuel, God with us. Son of the Most High. Son of God. He will be called Holy. And actually, in those passages, it says He will be from the Holy Spirit. And then He will be a ruler. He will be a king. So just in those passages alone, the angel announces all of these titles and these names are to be given to this baby. Likely didn't happen to any of us. This is no ordinary baby. This is God with us, God in human flesh. So these two passages of Scripture want us to come and behold the wondrous mystery. It's not a scientific, rational thing that we can try to figure out. It's come and behold a wonderful mystery. God becoming human flesh. Angels announce it. Old Testament prophecies are fulfilled. Names and titles are given to this baby to say that He is from heaven. And then lastly, virgin birth. Virgin birth. Virgin birth in itself is somewhat of an oxymoron, is it not? Virgin birth. A supernatural kind of conception. Not a man and a woman. Not a god, little g, and a woman like happened in Greek mythology. Not God and Mary reproducing like many Muslims think that we believe. Not some kind of heavenly in vitro fertilization. It is simply a mystery. Scripture says, Gabriel said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, Son of God. We don't know how it happened. The Scripture doesn't tell us how and what it looked like for the Holy Spirit to come upon her, the Holy Spirit to overshadow. Maybe she didn't really experience it some kind of way. The Bible makes the point again and again. She is a virgin. Joseph had never laid a hand on her. How can this be? We believe it by faith. Christians believe it by faith. No way to explain it. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is a miracle. It's one of a kind because Jesus is one of a kind. He is holy. Every other person that's been created is unholy. He is from heaven. Every other person that's been created is from earth. He is perfect. Every other person is a sinner. He is God in human flesh, and we are fleshly. He is the Creator, dwelling in human flesh, and we are all creatures. The virgin birth is a big deal. It had to happen this way. It had to happen this way. I had a conversation with someone not too long ago. The person was interested actually in becoming a Christian. But somehow, I forget, the conversation turned to the virgin birth, and the person said, no. I don't believe that. That can't happen. Well, why did Jesus have to be born of a virgin? And maybe we want to ask this question. Do you have to believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? Why did he have to be born of a virgin? Jesus had to have a true human nature, and Jesus had to have a true divine nature. If he would have had a human dad, if Joseph would have been Jesus' dad, he would have been fully human. And he would have had a sin nature. The line of descent from Adam was partially, miraculously interrupted by not having a human father. If Jesus had a sin nature, then he would be a sinner. If he was a sinner, then he could not be a Savior. He needed to be sinless. He needed to be perfect. Because a sinner cannot die for sinners. Maybe we say it this way. A person cannot walk into a shop and pay someone's debt for them if that person owes a debt. Can't walk into a shop and say, hey, I want to pay Sam's debt for him if I also owe a debt. Jesus couldn't walk to the cross and bear our sins on it and bear the wrath of God if he was also deserving of that wrath. Jesus could only give us his righteousness so that God accepts us if he was righteous. And Jesus would not have been righteous if Joseph was his dad. You understand? If Mary's his mother and Joseph's his father, that makes him a sinner. That makes him a child of Adam. But somehow, miraculously, because he was born of a virgin, he had no human father, it was a miracle, Jesus had to be perfect in order to be God saves. He would have been just like me and you, in need of a Savior, if he was not born of a virgin. That's the mystery of the virgin birth. You have to believe in the virgin birth, because if you don't believe in the virgin birth, you don't have a Savior. Because Jesus had to be sinless to die on the cross. Excuse me. I'm struggling. This is the Christmas story. Jesus is our Savior. He is Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's holy. He's the Son of God. Simple question is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Maybe you believe it. Maybe today is, yes, I believe that freshly because I'm hearing it again at Christmas time. As I close, I want to point out two phrases that pop up in these two stories that jumped off the page to me, and I think they're significant for us, for our own lives, seeing a little bit of the lives that they lived. They are common, ordinary people who have a very unordinary child. And those two phrases that popped up to both Joseph and to Mary was, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And the other phrase was, nothing will be impossible with God. Did you notice the assurance when Mary said, but I'm a virgin, how in the world can I have a baby? The angel assured her by saying, nothing will be impossible with God. First, don't be afraid. To Joseph and Mary, this was spoken. I think it's significant because we forget, if we look on the human side of things, that God broke into their lives unexpectedly, in one moment, in one day. Life was turned upside down. God broke into their plans with His plan. And the word that they needed to hear was, do not be afraid. I think it's applicable for us because God also breaks into our lives in our plans with His plan as well. I don't know if you've experienced that in your life or not. Maybe in some way God has been working in your life. Maybe in some way God has been breaking into your life with His plan. Maybe you know it. Maybe you know He's calling you to do something or He's telling you to do something and it's a little uncomfortable because it's quite inconvenient. Bufang bien, right? God decides, you know what? This is what I want you to do. And you say, well, wait a minute, God, you didn't really ask me. He didn't really ask me what I wanted. You understand He doesn't have to. Because He created you. He has the authority to break into your life as He wishes. And He says to us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If God has broken into your life in some way and He's broken into your plans, you know He's changing your plans. The answer is to do exactly what Joseph and Mary did. The answer is to simply say, okay. You realize they had no idea of what was going to happen. Think about it. They were two ordinary people, and they had the angels show up, and they had the prophecies. But yet, the baby, Jesus, hadn't even been born yet. They had no idea the implications for the rest of their lives. Their lives were changed forever. Just obey God and submit to His plan. There's no telling what He's going to do. And the second thing is, He said, for nothing will be impossible with God. Let that give you hope in whatever situation you might find yourself in. If God is changing your plans, or God's calling you to do something new, or God's calling you to do something old that you haven't done, let that give you hope today, because you see, don't be afraid goes right alongside that nothing is impossible with God. So maybe some of you today, I mean, I've got to think in this room, there's somebody who's somewhat facing impossible odds or impossible circumstances that may seem impossible to you in some way. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your job. It may seem impossible. Let that give you hope. Things may not make sense to you, but God says, nothing is impossible with me. You may say, God, you're messing up my life. But you just give in, like Mary and Joseph, and say, I'm the Lord's servant. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. Don't be afraid, for nothing is impossible with Him. If God can bring, God the Father can initiate the birth of God the Son, an incarnation to be born of a virgin, what can He not do? He can do whatever He wants. So we can trust Him today, and we can have faith in Him, no matter what circumstances we might find ourselves in. Let's pray together. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, King of the universe, You are on Your throne, and You rule, and You reign, and You are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Thank You for the miracle, the mystery. We can behold Your glory in the birth of Jesus Christ. I pray that You would help us this Christmas season, this Advent, you will take us deeper. You will take us on a month-long worship, pilgrimage, to where we would not just blaze through this holiday season, but instead we would somehow in our hearts and minds read the incarnation again and again and again. And let it bring us hope. Let it give us faith. We can trust you more. For we know that nothing is impossible with you. So help us not to be afraid, but to trust you in every part of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name.